Good morning. Thank you very much. If you take a look at the first source here, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim points out that Matan Torah and trying to discover and decipher what exactly we experienced, what exactly we heard, is one of the secrets of the Torah. And it's very difficult to get a true conception of the events, for they've never happened subsequently. It was a once-in-history occurrence. And that being the case, perhaps it could be a very short shiur, because we were not going to understand anything anyway. But nevertheless, as Shavuos approaches, it behooves us to try to understand the events to the best of our ability, even as we recognize that a full and total understanding is something that is likely to be beyond us. It's actually quite interesting. The pasuk says, "Va'kohanim va'ha'am al yaharsu la'alos el Hashem." This was one of the warnings given to the Jewish people prior to the receiving of the Torah. And Rabbeinu Bachya, as well as in source 2, as well as the Rambam in source 3, in Mor Nevuchim, says that this is a general warning against trying to understand things that are beyond our ability to understand. It's quite fascinating that the Rambam, who was someone who addressed many of the most difficult and enigmatic philosophical issues. He tackles the questions such as, how do we know that God exists, and Tameh HaMitzvos and the like. But he's also the first person to recognize, and he frequently does, that this is something beyond our ability to understand, something that we can't understand. And that is the warning that was given to the Jewish people. V'akonim v'am al yaharsu la'alos el Hashem. This doesn't just mean to breach the physical barriers which surrounded Har Sinai, but it also means that we have to have humility in recognizing the limitations, the natural limitations that we as human beings with our finite intellectual abilities have. And this is a warning. Al yarsu la'alos el Hashem. And the Rambam alludes to this warning. He does indeed tackle the topic of Matan Torah and what exactly happens, but he reminds us of this warning before he begins. He says, be careful, you're treading on treacherous territory if you make a mistake, so then the consequences can be very grave. In fact, the Rambam writes, it's precisely Moshe's humility that made it appropriate for he and he alone to receive the Torah. It says that when Moshe initially saw the burning bush, Vayaster Moshe's panav ki arei mehabit al ha'alokim. And the Rambam understands that pasuk as a reference to Moshe's recognition that there are certain things that he can't understand, and accordingly, he is not going to try to understand them. So again, with those warnings, and those qualifications, we could begin. And we're really going to begin today with source 4, which is on page 3 of your source books. This is a passage in Mor Nevuchim describing Ma'amad Har Sinai. The Rambam writes, Yisba'er li shebe'ma'amad Har Sinai lo haya ha'magia le'moshe magia l'chol Yisrael. That which was revealed at Har Sinai to Moshe was not the same thing that was revealed to the entire Jewish people. Meaning to say, do not think that the experience of Moshe at Har Sinai was the same thing as the experience of the rest of the Jewish people. Aval hadibur leMoshe levado alav hashalom. Moshe alone received the dibur, the speech. The lezeh basipur aseres hadibros kulo sipur hayachid hanifrad. That is why the Aseres HaDibros are in personal singular. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. I am God, your God, who took you out of Egypt. There are many explanations why it's given in second person singular. Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha. Some understand precisely the opposite, that this is because each and every person was addressed in a personal fashion at Har Sinai. Each and every person experienced prophecy, and not just prophecy, but personal prophecy. And we're going to return to that possibility towards the end of this year. But the Rambam suggests that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's second person singular, because God was talking to Moshe alone, and Moshe conveyed that message to the rest of the Jewish people. V'hu alav ha-shalom yarad letachtis hahar. Now the top of page 4. Ve'yageid levnei Adam ha-shashama. And then Moshe went down to the foot of the mountain where he told the rest of the Jewish people that which he heard. Amra ha-Torah, Anochi omeid bein Hashem uveinechem. And that's what the verse means when it says that I, Moshe, stood between you and God. Ve'amar gamkein, Moshe yidaber v'halohim ya'anenu v'kol. Moshe spoke, and what the Rambam understands this pasuk means is that Moshe heard it from God and transmitted it to the Jewish people. Uvivir amr mechilta, ki kol dibor v'dibor haya meshivo lahem k'moshe shama. The Moshe transmitted each and every dibor, each of the aseres hadivros, or aseres hadvarim, as he heard them. The kasav b'torah, gam kein ba'avor yishma'am b'dabri imach, more ki hadibor haya lo, since it says b'dabri imach, when I spoke to you, that indicates that the speech was to Moshe. V'hem yishmu akol hahu ha'atzum, lo havdel hadvarim. V'al shma hakol hahu ha'atzum amar, kishamachem es hakol. Now the Rambam introduces a fascinating thing. Well, does that mean that the Jewish people heard nothing? All they heard was Moshe's voice? No. What is it that we heard? The Rambam says what we heard is the kol. Kol means a sound or a voice. What does that mean? The Rambam explains, ve'amar, kol dvarim atem shomim, ve'lo amar, Dvarim atem shomim. The word kol repeats itself numerous times in the discussion and the description of Matan Torah. And the pasuk says that what you heard is kol dvarim. It doesn't say that you heard dvarim, which would indicate that you heard words. Rather, it says that you heard kol dvarim. V'chol ma sheba mashma hadvarim. Amnam hanirtzebo shama hakol. Umoshe hu asher yishma dvarim, v'yisaprem lohem, zehu hanira min ha-Torah, umeirov divrei chazal. This is what appears from the text of the Torah, as well as a majority of the sources in Chazal. What does this mean exactly? The Rambam understands that the Jewish people heard an undifferentiated sound. They all heard a kol. And this sound was something that everyone heard, but only Moshe understood. And then Moshe went ahead and told everybody else what he alone understood, what he alone heard. He was like a translator. Everybody heard the original, but they were unable to understand it. And therefore, it was necessary for Moshe to transmit it. It's actually interesting because you find a similar idea in Chazal. Chazal, for example, say, and we'll return to this point a little later on in this year, that the entire Ten Commandments were heard at one instant, in one moment. Masha'ein ha-peh yachol lomar, ve'ein ha-ozen yachol lishmoa. That which a mouth cannot say, we can only say one word at a time. In this case, the entire Aseres HaDvarim were condensed into a single instant, and again later on we'll return to trying to understand what that means, but they were condensed into a single instant, and that's something that a ear cannot hear. And while the Rambam doesn't quote that Chazal works very nicely with his thesis, namely that there was this single sound that was understood by Moshe. Moshe had the capacity to understand and decipher the kol, and then he transmitted it to all of Klal Yisrael. Now the first question we have to consider is, why is this necessary? Why does the Rambam not explain that all of the Jewish people heard the entire Ten Commandments? After all, that's certainly what we're accustomed to understanding. Not only that, but the notion that the entire Jewish people experienced prophecy at Sinai, and that that is indeed the basis of our faith, both in Torah and in Moshe, is something which is a critical concept, as we'll see shortly. So why is it that the Rambam understands that the entire kol could only be understood by Moshe, this undifferentiated sound, and it's only Moshe that interpreted it to the Jewish people? So to understand the Rambam, we have to return to a concept that the Rambam has concerning prophecy. The Rambam writes in several places, including Yesodei HaTorah, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Zayin, he writes, Yesodei HaDas Leida, this is not in your sheets, I'm sorry, Sheha'el Minavei El Bnei Adam, a fundamental principle of faith is that God prophecies to human beings, Ve'ena Nevua Chala, Ela Al Chacham Gadol B'Chachma Gibor B'Midosav, V'lo Yitzro Misgaber Alav, B'Davar Ba'olam, The Rambam here, which is based off of a Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara Nedarim Lamed Ches, tells us a similar idea. He says, the Gemara says that only someone who is a Chacham, Gibor, Ashir, Anav can be a Navi. The Rambam says that only someone who has perfected themselves, perfected their Midos, perfected themselves spiritually, and also perfected themselves intellectually, is capable of experiencing prophecy. Prophecy, according to the Rambam, is part of a continuum in terms of moral, philosophical, and intellectual perfection. It's not a natural consequence. Once one reaches a certain extraordinarily high level, then prophecy becomes possible. But without having reached that level, prophecy is impossible. It is impossible to experience prophecy if one has not reached that level. And in fact, in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam writes that there are certain people who think that anyone is capable of experiencing prophecy, and that is absolutely wrong. The possibility of someone who has not achieved that spiritual and intellectual perfection of receiving prophecy is ke'efsharut hinaveh hachamur o tzvardeya. Just as we intuitively understand that a frog cannot prophecy, cannot experience and understand the word of God, so too a human being who hasn't reached a certain level of intellectual and moral and spiritual achievement cannot experience prophecy. That is the Rambam's theory. Now, there are many other thinkers who accept this theory. The Ran, for example, in Drushos, in Drush Chamishi, accepts the Rambam's position that only someone who has achieved spiritual and moral perfection can be a prophet. Nevertheless, the Ran writes that Har Sinai was an exception to that rule. That while the rest of history, throughout the rest of history, only someone who has perfected themselves can be a prophet, Har Sinai was an exception. And the Ran actually says that the Nevuah of Moshe was an exception. That's part of his theory, why Moshe was never cured of his kvad peh, and why it was necessary that Moshe be a kvad peh, to show us that the prophecy of Moshe, and likewise the prophecy that the Jewish people experienced at Sinai, was not standard prophecy. Rather, it was a unique experience, a violation of the rules of nature and the rules of prophecy, such that the entire Jewish people at one point all experienced prophecy, and that was the prophecy that we experienced at Sinai. However, the Rambam understands that this is the type of law which cannot be broken. It's absolutely impossible for anyone to experience prophecy that is not at the proper madrega. In fact, there's a Tshuva Sarashba about this, and he asks, well, I don't understand. If we're breaking all these laws of nature through the miracles of the Exodus and the miracles of Matan Torah, why can't we just break this law that states that only perfected people could experience prophecy? And the Rashba suggests that there's two types of impossibilities. One which is just impossible because a person lacks a certain koach. For example, I cannot pick up the entire building with my finger. That's because I lack the strength. It's not an inherent impossibility. It's a practical impossibility. And therefore, miracles could give me the strength to lift up this entire building with one finger. However, then there are certain things that are inherent possibilities, that laws which cannot be broken at all. And the Rambam assumes that this is that sort of impossibility. So that's the Rambam's position. Nevuah can only be experienced by perfected people, and thus it would be impossible to say that the entire Jewish people experienced prophecy. Now the Rambam turns to a source in Chazal, which seems to contradict his theory. So we'll continue reading. Ella, we're again on page 4, the second paragraph. Ella sheyesh lahem gam kein ma'amar kasuv barbei mekomos min ha-midrashos v'hu b'talmud gam kein. There's a medrash, which is also in the Talmud, it's in Maseches Makos, that seems to contradict this theory. The Gemara says, v'hu amram, anochi v'lo yia mipi ha-gvura shma'um, that the first of the two Asera Sadibros were heard from God directly, meaning to say the entire Jewish people heard them. And then they complained, they said this experience is too intense, we can't live, according to some versions, they'd actually died and been resurrected. And that being the case, that Chazal, which says that the entire Jewish people directly heard the first of the two Ten Commandments, contradicts my theory that the Jewish people did not hear anything. Rotzim bezeh shehem higiu elehem kemo shehigiu leMoshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom v'lo haya Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom megiyem alehem v'zeh sheshtei elu asharashim ratza lomar mitzius hakel yisparach v'hayoso echad amnam yusag b'iyun ha'enoshi v'chol ma sheyivada b'mofes Mishpat Hanavi u'mishpat kol mi sheyodehu shaveh ein yisroel. The Rambam comes up with a rather ingenious way to resolve this source such that it doesn't contradict his thesis. And that is the following. The idea behind the first two commandments, the existence of God and his oneness, is something which can be philosophically proven. In fact, the Rambam does exactly this. In his Mar Nevuchim, he offers four proofs for the existence of God, as well as philosophical proofs for God's oneness. Now, that being the case, if I can know something through proof, meaning to say I could go ahead and independently derive it using my intellect, so I know that information firsthand. It is not secondhand information, it's firsthand information. Thus, says the Rambam, while the rest of the Torah is secondhand information, God told it to Moshe, and Moshe transmitted it to us, our knowledge of his existence and of his oneness is firsthand knowledge. Why? Because this is something which can be independently proven. It's something that we can know directly. And as such, our knowledge is exactly the same as the knowledge of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just as the knowledge of Moshe Rabbeinu is firsthand knowledge, so too our knowledge is firsthand knowledge. It is not secondary, but it is primary knowledge. And that is what the Gemara means. That the first two commandments we hear directly from God, meaning to say that we know it directly, and there is no need for the medium of a prophet for us to know that. The Rambam, of course, tells us that when we discover something independently and philosophically, it's not purely independently. We know that which we know because we were given an intellect by God. May Hashem yiten chachma mipiv das usfuna. That our knowledge and our ability to reason come from the Ribono shel Olam. And thus, our knowledge of God's existence, which we can know independently, and independent of revelation, is first-hand knowledge, and as such, it is direct knowledge, and we are like Moshe Rabbeinu in that sense. Whereas the rest of the Torah is something which is second-hand knowledge, we only know through Moshe. So that's how the Rambam explains this Gemara. The Meshech Chachma has a fascinating comment using this idea to explain a question that the Ramban has on the Rambam. There's a machlokas rishonim, whether emuna, faith or belief, or for the Rambam, knowledge of God, is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. The Rambam writes that the first mitzvah is leida shiyesh sham Eloka, to know or to believe that God exists. And it's counted in as one of the 613 mitzvos. The Ramban asks, how is it that emunah could be counted as a mitzvah? And one of his objections is that it doesn't make sense that faith should be a mitzvah. Either I believe, in which case there's no need for a mitzvah, or I don't believe, in which case a mitzvah is not going to help me. To that, the Rambam responds that there is a mitzvah of emunah because one should try to strengthen their emunah. As we said, the Rambam offers proofs for the existence of God. According to the Rambam, someone who believes in God based off of evidence has a stronger faith than someone who simply believes based off of tradition. So in that sense, it could be a mitzvah. And then the Rambam says, I have a definitive proof that the mitzvah of emunah, that anochi is a mitzvah. How do I know anochi is a mitzvah? Because the Gemara that we just quoted, the Gemara says that Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Torah is gematria 611, Moshe told us 611 mitzvos, but there are two more mitzvos which we received directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam, coming up to a total of 613. Now what does that indicate? Is Anochi one of the 613 mitzvos? Yes, clearly. So that is the proof that the Rambam offers that Anochi is a mitzvah. So the Ramban says, no, that's just an asmachta. And how do I know that the Rambam is incorrect, that it doesn't make sense to count the first two of the 10 dibros as a mitzvah? Because there are five mitzvos in the first two of the 10 commandments. It doesn't just say Anochi and Lo'iya. But if you read the psukim and you look at the count, the count is actually many, many more, right? When we talk about the Ten Commandments, right, the Aseret HaDibros, or as the Torah says, Aseret HaDvarim. But the truth is that the Ten Commandments is an inaccurate translation. The Torah doesn't say Aseret HaMitzvos, it says Aseret HaDvarim. These were 10 utterances, but not 10 commandments. There are, in fact, more than 10 mitzvos in the Aseret HaDibros, because you have lo yelach Elohim acherim al panai, lo tishtachav Elohim, lo sa'avdeim. And the Ramban asks, therefore, Rambam, how could you say that that Gemara that says the first of the two Ten Commandments was said by God as a proof that Anochi is a mitzvah? After all, if that's correct, then you should count five mitzvos, not two. So according, the Meshech Chachma points out, according to what the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, it's beautiful. Because when the Gemara refers to the first two, it doesn't mean the first two mitzvos. It means the idea, namely, the existence of God and his oneness. Those are the only two mitzvos which we can know independently, like a prophet. All the other mitzvos we know secondhand. We know through Moshe. And therefore, the Rambam is extraordinarily precise when he says that that Gemara is the source, that Anochi is a mitzvah. Because it doesn't mean the first five mitzvos of the Aseret HaDibros, but rather it means the first two concepts. And those two concepts can be independently proven. This is a general theme that a number of thinkers like the Meshech Chachma, as well as others, show that if you want to fully understand even the Rambam's halachic works, the Sefer HaMitzvos or the Mishneh Torah, you have to go back to the Mor Nevuchim, where he explains a lot of the ideas more fully. So that is the Rambam's theory. It's a very radical theory, but also a very powerful theory. The only problem with this theory is that it seems to overtly contradict something else that the Rambam says. And for this, we'll turn to source 5, the bottom of page 5. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah the following. Moshe Rabbeinu, lo ha'aminu bo Yisrael mipnei ha'osos sha'asa. Our belief in Moshe, and hence our belief in the Torah, does not stem from the miracles that he did. Why? We know Moshe Rabbeinu did many miracles, the ten plagues, the splitting of the sea, and the like. The Rambam says, Mipnei shehamamin alpi, now the top of page 6, haosos, yesh belibo dofi. anyone who believes in something based off of a miracle has a tinge of doubt. She'efshar, she'ye aseh ha'os bilad v'kishuf. Perhaps this miracle was done through sorcery or magic. Rambam doesn't accept magic, but sleight of hand, or perhaps I believe in magic. So if the belief that we have in Moshe was based off of the miracles that he performed, then it would not be certain faith. We would have the slightest hesitancy. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is just the greatest magician ever. So what then is the basis of our belief in Moshe? Ela kol ha'otso sh'asa b'midbar l'fiat sorech asan. The miracles that Moshe did in the Midbar were for a purpose. It's interesting here that he says b'midbar as opposed to Mitzrayim. One could be medayik that the miracles in Mitzrayim actually had a different purpose. If you look at the psukim, as the Ramban points out, the purposes of the miracles of Mitzrayim are to show the ikari hadas, leman teidun ki ani Hashem, leman teidun ki in kamoni b'kal ha'aretz. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that the purpose of the miracles in Mitzrayim, the 10 plagues, was to punish the Egyptians. But at the very least, that does not form the centrality of our belief in Moshe. And he explains that the miracles that took place in Midbar were for a particular need. Lo hevi ra'aya, lo lavi ra'aya la nebuah, not to prove prophecy. For example, tzorech lashkias ha-mitzrim, kara lahem esayam v'tzilam bo. It was necessary to protect and save the Jewish people, so God split the sea and the Jews drowned. The Egyptians. Thank you. It's a long night. Tzarachnu lemazon, horid lanu es haman. We needed food, so Hashem brought the man. Tsamu baka lahem es ha'even. We were thirsty, so he brought water through the stone. Kafru bo adas korach balo sabaretz. V'chein shar ha'osos. So then why do we believe in Moshe? Uvameh eminu bo b'mamad har Sinai. Our absolute faith in Moshe, in his Torah, that Moshe emes, the Torah so emes, comes from Mamad Har Sinai, from Matan Torah. Why? She'enenu ra'u v'lo zar, ve'oznenu sham'u v'lo acher, ha'esh v'hakolos v'alipidim. Our eyes, our ears heard and saw the fire and the kolos. V'hu nigash el ha'arafel, Moshe went up to the darkness, v'akol midaber elav, v'anu shom'im, Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lahem kach v'kach. We, the Jewish people, with our own ears, heard the voice of God saying, Moshe, Moshe, go tell the Jews such and such. V'chein hu omer panim b'fanim diber Hashem imachem. That God spoke to you at Sinai face to face. V'ne'emar, v'lo asav oseichem karas Hashem es abris hazos v'chulei. The Rambam says that the basis of our belief in Moshe v'toraso is mass revelation. That the entire Jewish people experienced prophecy at Sinai. That is very different than the experience of a miracle. A miracle, while perhaps very convincing, is not entirely convincing. But the experience of prophecy is unmistakable. No one could experience prophecy, no one could hear the voice of God and doubt whether that is what he was truly experiencing. And thus, Matan Torah and revelation, that was the basis, that is the basis of our belief. The Ramban accepts this principle and he writes in Sefer Dvarim, that is why it's a mitzvah to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. It's one of the Sheish Zechiros that many people say every day. So this is a very beautiful, very powerful passage in the Rambam, and the Rambam continues and he says that is why we know that the Torah is from God, such that if another person were to come and try to deny the validity of the Torah, we would know he's a liar. If someone were to come later on and say, I'm a prophet and God spoke to me and told me that the Torah is no longer valid, well, we would know he's a liar. We would know he's a false prophet. How would we know that? Because we all experienced revelation, and we therefore are confident in the Torah, and the Torah says that it is eternal. The Torah testifies about its own eternality, that it will never become null and void. And moreover, the Torah testifies that there will never be a greater prophet than Moshe. So anyone who is to come subsequently and to say that the Torah is invalid or no longer binding, we would know they're a liar, because they're contradicting the very Torah that we ourselves experienced and received. So this concept that we all experienced revelation at Sinai is central to our emunah. The Kuzari famously explains that the religion of the Jewish people is unique among the various religions of the world. While other religions are based off of the prophecy of one person or a small group of people, or miracles that were witnessed by one person or a small group of people, the Jewish faith is based off of mass revelation, something that everybody experienced. And that being the case, it's not something that could ever be made up, because you could never get an entire nation to believe that they all witnessed something that they didn't witness, or that their grandparents witnessed something that they didn't witness. So that is what the Rambam writes. So this is a beautiful explanation, very convincing. We are only left with one very significant problem, which is it contradicts what he says in the guide. Remember, we started off with the Rambam statement in the Mor Nevuchim that the Jewish people did not experience direct prophecy at Sinai. In fact, all they heard was the kol, but how did they hear the Ten Commandments? They heard them through Moshe Rabbeinu. So how do we resolve these two sources? So first of all, we should note that the Rambam here is incredibly consistent. The Rambam does not write in the Mishneh Torah that we heard the Ten Commandments, we heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and that is the basis of our belief. In fact, when you look at other versions of this concept in the Sefer Ikrim, for example, he says that what is the basis of our belief? That we all heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But is that what the Rambam said? What does the Rambam say we heard? For who? Let's look. I'm sorry?
Moshe, Moshe.
Moshe, Moshe, right? Let's go back to that key line. The Rambam is always incredibly consistent. Sometimes it's hard to figure it out, but it's remarkable, right? V'hu nigash al arafel, v'hakol medaber elav, right? Again, the Rambam stressing kol, v'anu shomim, Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lem kach v'kach. So we didn't hear Anochi, we heard Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lem kach v'kach. Moshe, Moshe, go tell them such and such. Now, even more perplexing is that, where did the Rambam get this from? Does anyone know of a pasuk where it says, Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lahem kach v'kach? It's not in my Chumash. There are some who have the girsa, perhaps in the Rambam, maybe they say for Ekrim, Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lahem shuvu lachem v'alechem matan po amodi madi. But that's not what the Rambam says. Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lahem kach v'kach. Go say such and such. And that is the great revelation that we heard at Sinai, according to the Rambam. The problem is, the pasuk doesn't even say that. So I would like to suggest the following. Perhaps, and again, perhaps, as we started off, these things are from the secrets of the Torah, and I'm making a suggestion here. I'm not 100% confident it's correct. But perhaps the Rambam is saying as follows. What did we hear? The Rambam says we heard a kol. The kol was an undifferentiated sound. We couldn't make out the words, but we could understand the idea. And what was the idea? Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lahem kach v'kach. It's not those words. As we noted, those words don't appear anywhere in the Torah. That is a made-up pasuk. But we understood the content. When we heard this kol, we had the unmistakable understanding that God was saying something to Moshe. We couldn't understand the words, but we knew that something was being said to Moshe that was meant to be transmitted to us. In other words, what we heard, or what we understood, was Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lem kach v'kach. Going back to the analogy we gave before, If I go ahead and I hear two people speaking to each other in a language I don't understand. So I understand that they're communicating to each other. And I could also understand, if he's speaking to a translator, that he is telling something to somebody that's meant to be told to me. I could get that message even without understanding the words. So perhaps, what did the Jewish people experience? They experienced the kol. But from the kol, they understood, unmistakably, Moshe, Moshe, lechem olam, kach v'kach. And the Rambam says that is the basis of our faith in Moshe and in the Torah. Because that was something unmistakable. It was qualitatively different than any miracle. A miracle is something that might have been performed through magic. Of course, we believe they weren't. They were the act of the Ribono Shel Olam. But a person could have a shmek of suffix. But when we heard the call, we heard the voice of God, as it were, we knew that God was speaking to Moshe, and we understood that the message was, Lech Amor Lahem, Kach V'Kach. And thus, the Rambam is totally consistent. The Rambam tells us in Mishneh Torah, we heard the call. Hearing the call was the basis of our belief in Moshe, because it was unmistakable. And when we heard that call, we understood that Moshe was being told something to tell us. Perhaps you could even say a little further. Perhaps, and this is even more speculative, what the Rambam is saying is that when we said before that it is a categorical impossibility for someone unworthy of prophecy to receive prophecy, that is referring to content, but not to words, not to instructions. We couldn't understand the concept, the content of the Aseres HaDibros, but the directions, namely, Moshe, Moshe, Lech Emor Lahem, Kach V'Kach, that is something we could understand, because instructions don't need that extraordinarily high level of philosophical, intellectual, and moral perfection. Rather, it is sufficient to be able to understand. So Moshe, Moshe, Lech Emor Lahem, Kach V'Kach is something we could understand, but not the entire thing. You had a question?
Yes, so what does it mean later when Moshe tells the people, Atah Horei Saladas?
Oh, that's exactly the Yesod. Atah Horei Saladas Ki Hashem Elokim. What you experienced here and now is something fundamentally different than anything else anybody would ever experience in the history of the world. You all experienced prophecy because you all heard the kol. And the kol is something, Atah Horei Saladas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Od. From the call, we were able to know that God exists, that there's nothing else, that God communicates to man, that man, a prophet, can communicate that message to the rest of us. All of that we learned at Har Sinai through the call. Yes?
So what does the Rambam do with the Bua of Bilam, for example?
Okay. That's a different question. We could spend... The Rambam has about 10 chapters in the Mor Nevuchim where he deals with the issue of prophecy. The truth of the matter is the Nevuah of Bilam is a problem for Chazal as well. Rambam didn't make up this concept. But very briefly, the Rambam has two clues. He doesn't overtly address the question, but he has two clues in the Mor Nevuchim where he deals with that issue. Number one is that the Rambam writes that Bilam's prophecy was not true prophecy. The Rambam has 10 levels of prophecy, and various levels of prophecy require varying degrees of perfection. Bilam's was not a very high level of prophecy. In a certain sense, it wasn't even true prophecy. The second thing the Rambam writes, which is fascinating in terms of understanding the story of Bilam, is that he writes that Bilam was righteous at first. And this is fascinating when trying to understand the story of Bilam. When and where exactly did Bilam do wrong? There are actually allusions to this in Chazal as well. The Gemara learns from Bilam or Balak the concept of mitoch shelo lishma balishma, which only applies when you have kavana, at least to some degree, for the right things. And it's a bigger topic, but I think those are the two clues that the Rambam gives us to understanding the story of Bilam. A, he was not as malicious as some would understand from the story, at least not at first, and B, it wasn't regular prophecy. Okay, now I'd like to take this concept a step further. And with this, we'll bring it back to a number of the other more traditional and classical makoros on this concept. There is, by the way, another possible way of resolving this answer, this Dear in the Rambam, based on a comment of Rabbi Avram ben Arambam in source 6. And we're not going to do that today, but it's something to think about. I'd like you to turn to, since we're running out of time, to page 9. There's a, either way, however you understand Ma'amad Har Sinai, whether you understand it like the Pashtus in Chazal and most Mefarshim, that we actually directly experienced revelation and prophecy, or like the Rambam, that we only experienced the Kol. Ma'amad Har Sinai, of course, is certainly the basis of our belief and a very important moment in Jewish history. And I remember once hearing the following question from Rabbi Karmi. I don't remember his answer. The answer that we're about to give might or might not be his answer. I have to get back to him and find out what he told me. This was many years ago. But it was a fascinating question either way. If it is the case, and clearly it is, that Ma'amad Har Sinai is one of the most fundamental and important moments in our history, why is it that it doesn't appear in any one of the histories that are in Tanakh, with perhaps one exception for a reason that we'll get to if we have a chance? What do I mean it doesn't appear in any of our histories? There are probably about 10 or so times where in Tanakh we have the Torah or the prophets telling us brief overviews of Jewish history. In Torah, for example, we have the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim, which starts off with Aram Yavid Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayereo Sanu Amitzim Vayanunu, Vanitzaka Lashem, Elokei Avosenu Vayashmas, Koleinu Vayas Anyenu Veslachatzenu, and he redeemed us, and he took us out of Egypt, and he brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, no mention is made of Har Sinai. So that we could dismiss, we could say, well, it's a very, very abridged version anyway. In Perek Chav Dalet of Sefer Yeshua, Yeshua, before he passes away, gives chizuk and musar to the Jewish people, and again, he tells the entire history of the Jewish people. And he goes through even in more details, talks about Terach and Avraham, and the going down to Egypt, and the affliction in Egypt, and the redemption of Egypt, and the description of the Jewish people in the desert, and they're being brought into the land of Israel. And it even gives us many details. It tells us the story of Balak, and it tells us other details, but no mention is made of Ma'amad Har Sinai. The same is true in the book of Shmuel. When Shmuel gives a speech to the entire nation before the transition to monarchy, there it is even more in detail. He tells us many of the stories and the things that happened in the desert. No mention is made in Har Sinai. In Tehillim, in 6 different places, you have them listed here, and there are probably more that I'm missing. It tells us the history of our people, and in none of them does it mention Ma'amad Har Sinai. Now, that's not to say that Ma'amad Har Sinai is not mentioned in many places in Tanakh. It is. But whenever there's a history, it is left out, which is strange, because
so central
to our history. Let us add to this question.
Say in Tehillim Samaches, there's a lot of references to Ma'amad Har Sinai.
Absolutely. So that's what I said, that there are references, many places there are references to Ma'amad Har Sinai. Absolutely. There are many, many references. Yeah. But never in the context of places like this, where it tells us the whole history, from the beginning till that point, and does it mention Ma'amad Har Sinai? Let's add to this another question. You'll see that perhaps from the second question we could begin to answer the first question, which is, when exactly did Ma'amad Har Sinai take place? Answer is, we don't exactly know. Source 9, the Gemara in Shabbos, Tana Rabbanan, B'shisha B'chodesh Nitnu Aseres HaDibros LeYisrael, Rebbe Yossi Omer B'shiva Bo. The Gemara continues, and there's a whole Shakla B'Tarya, exactly how this machlokes, when did the extra 3 days take place? Everybody agrees it took place on Shabbos, but when do we start? When did it finish? What were the days that Moshe was Mosif? A whole complicated Chakravatarya. But the bottom line is, we don't know. It's a machlokas. The most important date in our history is unknown to us. We don't know the place either. There are all sorts of theories where exactly Ma'amad Har Sinai is. I remember somebody told me that they visited the Sinai Desert and they went to Har Sinai. And I said, and how did you know it was Har Sinai? So he said, well, there was a vendor there who was selling things. And he pulled out a stone and it said, look, this stone is from Har Sinai. So I knew it was from Har Sinai. So
there's a monastery on the side.
But we don't really know. We don't have a... So we are not quite sure when it took place, where exactly it took place. In fact, in Source 10, we won't go through it, but the Rivash and other Rishonim deal with the mystery. That's one of the reasons why Shavuos is designated by the Omer. It's conceivable that Shavuos doesn't actually coincide with Ma'amad Har Sinai, even though it's Man Matan Torasenu. And certainly in the days of Kiddush HaChodesh, where Shavuos could have come out in one of three possible days, it didn't need to coincide. It might not even coincide now. There are some opinions that say that it's the second day of Shavuos when Matan Torah actually took place. So this is quite remarkable. So how do we understand all this? So take a look on the pasuk at the top of page 12. Pasuk you're all familiar with. V'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'kolos. We all saw the sounds. Synesthesia. We saw the sounds. What does it mean to see the sounds? So we know, of course, that there is the sense of hearing and the sense of sight. I once heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro a fascinating insight. The sense of hearing and the sense of sight are different in the following sense. Sight is something that takes place in an instant, right? You could take a camera and you close the shutter, in one moment you capture a picture. Speech is something that is a process. A single instant is of no value. Sounds make up syllables, syllables make up words, words make up sentences, and then you begin to transmit meaning. Ro'im es ha'kolos can mean many things. But one possibility is that while it was sounds, which by definition take a time, but it was something that took place in an instant, like a re'iyah. Simple understanding, I think, is that it means it was clear to us, like a picture says 1,000 words, but it's a little bit more subtle, and a little more perfect. The idea was that what generally takes time took place in a moment, in a single instant. In fact, this is exactly what Chazal say. We opened with the Medrash that says, Esadvarim ha'ela melamed shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu aseres hadibros bedibur echad mashiyev shel adam lomar kein. The whole aseres hadibros took place in a single moment. Well, how is that possible? There are many, many words. How could they be transmitted in a single instant? This is the kol that the Rambam was talking about. The Maharal writes in Tiferes Yisrael, Parak Chaf Hei, Aval davar shehu seichel bilvad v'ha kabbalas ha-torah she'ena davar gufani v'davar zeh eno tachas hazman al zeh amar eis l'chol chefetz ki ha'eis shehu shehu meha mechaber ha'avar v'hasid eno zman. And he continues. The idea is that Matan Torah is, as we said, mass revelation. Whether you accept the idea of the Rambam, that this was a call, or you say that we understood the words, but everybody agrees that the significance of Matan Torah is that it was something that we all experienced. And not only that, but it was a connection with the infinite. a connection with the Ribono Shalom. That is what prophecy really is. Prophecy is a chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that chibur takes place outside of time and outside of space. Romis HaKolos is an indication of that. We saw the sounds, meaning to say that sounds which take place in time was something that took place in an instant. The entire Ten Commandments were said at the same time. Zachor v'shomor b'dibur echad amru. The idea is that Matan Torah, which is nevuah of some sort, doesn't take place within space and doesn't take place within time. It is a connection with the infinite. It is a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what's unique about Matan Torah is that it's something that we all experienced. And that's why it doesn't appear in any of the histories, because it's not part of history. History is something which takes place in the world, within space, within time. Matan Torah is not part of history. Of course it happened, and that's why, as you pointed out, there are many references to it, but never in the context of history, because history is what takes place in space and time in this world. And Matan Torah is not part of history. It's not part, as it were, of Jewish history. It's something that we always continue to experience and re-experience every time we study Torah. Every time we learn a piece of Torah, we are once again experiencing revelation. Of course, there's a difference between the revelation of Sinai and the revelation we experience each and every time we learn. But taken together, it's part of something bigger. And this is the idea that perhaps underlies what the Rambam is trying to say that we saw before. I'll add one last point. We're nearly out of time, but just a fascinating idea. This is something that also affects us every time we learn. The Yam Shel Shlomo, source 7 on page 8, deals with the following question. When we study Torah, we very frequently are surprised by the diversity of opinions and the frequent disputes and machlokas. And the Marshal writes, "V'shelo l'tmoa al hamachlokas berichu kaios sheze mitame v'ze mitaher ze oser v'ze matir ze posel v'ze machshir ze poter v'ze mechayev." We shouldn't be astonished by the range of machlokas. They're all part of elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And not only that, but he writes that this was part of the experience of Matan Torah. He writes that the Mekubalim, we don't know exactly what this means, this is on the third line on page 9, that Mekubalim kasvu tam ledavar, lefi shekol haneshamos hayu behar Sinai, vekiblu derech mem test sinoros, vehen shiva pe'amim shiva, mizukak shiva sayim, vehen akolos asher shamu v'gam ra'u, v'chol Yisrael ro'im es hakolos, hen Hadeos Hamischalkos Betzinur. Essentially, there were various different paths or pipes, 49 different pipes through which the Jewish people received the Torah, each person understanding it according to his perspective, based on his ability to understand. Like the Rambam began with, not everybody heard the same thing. Everybody is different, and therefore everybody received something slightly different at Sinai. And that being the case, it's not surprising that there's machlokas, because perhaps Moshe understood everything, but the rest of us understood partially, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, based on who we are. We're all different people, and thus we understand things differently. And that is why there's machlokas. But they're all part of something bigger. And that's why, through the machlokas, we ultimately come to the emes. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. So this experience, this multifaceted experience, if you look at source 8, the Psikta says a remarkable thing. It says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Chanina, ulefi kochan shel kol echad V'achad haya dibor medaber imo, just like we saw in the Marshal. According to each person's ability, God would speak directly to them. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to you. Not like the Rambam said. Each and every person received the Torah individually and personally. V'altatamel adabar shahaya man yorid li'isroel. He says, you might be surprised. How could everybody hear the same thing and yet come up with something different? Well, that's because we are all different. And it compares it almost to a hologram, something that everybody could look at, and it's looking directly at them, no matter what angle you look at it from. I'm not exactly sure what it's referring to, but something like that. That is the godless of Torah. And that's something that didn't just happen at Har Sinai, didn't just happen at Matan Torah. Matan Torah was not just part of our ancient history, but it's something that we re-experience every year on Shavuos, and the truth of the matter is, every single time we study Torah. May we all be zocha that this Yontif, we are mekabel Torah once again, as it was originally given, and even in a greater way. And may we continue to find new chidushim and new insights every time we learn. Have a good Yontif. Thank you very much.